Scripture reading today comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, hopefully familiar verses to many of us. Verses 9 through 17, listen to the Word of God. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. May the same God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So three friends who we'll call Bill, Jim, and Scott. No relation, of course, to our own Bill, Jim, and Scott. Three friends were at a convention together and were sharing a suite on the 75th floor of a huge skyscraper hotel in a national city. After a long day of meetings and workshops, they were shocked when they got back to the hotel to hear that the elevators were out of service. So they were going to have to walk 75 flights to their hotel room. Well, Bill, being a very practical person he was, said to Jim and Scott, "Guys, I got an idea. How about we try some things to mix it up a little bit, make it a little interesting on the way up, break up the monotony? I got an idea. How about I tell jokes for 25 floors, and then Jim can sing songs for 25 floors, and then Scott can tell some sad stories for 25 floors, and before you know it, we'll be there." So that sounded agreeable, and so at the 26th floor, Bill stopped telling jokes and Jim began to sing. At the 51st floor, Jim stopped singing and Scott began to tell sad stories. And he said, "Guys, I'm going to start with what I think is probably the saddest story you're ever going to hear in your life. I left the keys to the room down in the car." Joy of good friends. And I'm sure that Bill and Jim were very gracious and understanding with their friend and brother Scott in that situation, and there was probably no problem at all with that friendship. Speaking of friends, I love the story, and maybe you've heard it, about the pastor of a very nice little suburban church who people knew enjoyed a drink once in a while. And he particularly had a passion for peach brandy. Well, one of his congregants, who we'll call Joe, was one of the pastor's many, many good friends, and Joe would make Pastor Tom a bottle of homemade peach brandy every Christmas. So Christmas rolled around, and Pastor Tom goes to Joe's house, and of course he was not disappointed. He got his usual Christmas present, but his friend told him that he had to thank him that year for the peach brandy from the pulpit on Sunday. In his haste to get the bottle and get on with his next appointment, the pastor hurriedly agreed to that and left the house. So next Sunday, Pastor Tom, as he approached the pulpit, suddenly remembered that he was supposed to thank Joe from the pulpit for this gift of alcohol, which could be a little embarrassing, thanking a congregation member for supplying him with alcohol. At any rate, he comes up to the pulpit and he says, "This morning, friends, before we begin the service, I need to thank a very special friend, my friend Joe, for his kind gift of peaches and for the spirit with which he gave them." to worship. My friends, we are living in a day and a time when good friends are apparently only a click away. I'm, of course, talking about Facebook. Is there anybody here who has not heard of or does not know what Facebook is? Show of hands. That's what I thought. I was reading this week that currently Facebook has over 800 million users and growing daily. And has an average, each user also has an average of 130 friends. This is the way this works, of course. You send out a friend request to somebody, push a little button, and they click back, yes, I'll be a friend, blah, blah, blah. So, these friends, of course, can read your status, they can see your own personal likes, and they can creep all over your pictures. You guys know how this goes. I polled my kids this week, who are both Facebook fans, sent out a quick email, said, I'm doing this sermon, I just need to know roughly, you know, how many friends you guys have on Facebook. So Drew sends back, being the very short, terse, organized person that he has come to be in his landscape architectural days, Drew's email back, 343. Okay. Andrea, his wife, clearly the more social of the two, at least on this level, says 517. Well above the average, clearly. Julianne, 777. Definitely the more social of my two kids. With this caveat, parentheses, comment. She says, I need to delete a few hundred since I spend approximately 5.6 minutes a week on Facebook and talk to a small fraction of those people, those 777 people. Brilliant observation. Kyle, Julianne's newly wedded husband, 493 Facebook friends, and his caveated comment says, significantly less real life friends. Actually, that's a very astute observation. As with most things where numbers are involved in this day and time, the more friends you have on Facebook, the more followers you have on Twitter, the better. At least according to all those people who tweet and who are on Facebook. Apparently, lots of folks are desperate for friendship in this day and time, and if you are one of those people, well, friends are only a click away. It's really very simple. The truth is, of course, that Facebook friendships can only go so far, and those friendships can only go so deep. And if you ask the average person, how many friends do you really have, I would wager they're not going to count out 130 toes and fingers. They will tell you more often than not that you can probably count the people who are really, really close friends with them on one hand. Maybe two hands. They might even need a couple of toes. But that's it. Deep, meaningful connections. The kind that take more than clicking yes on a friend request are much harder to come by. And fewer in number. Well, in John chapter 15, Jesus is in the middle of his farewell discourse. And we have talked before from this sacred desk that his farewell discourse is a series of teachings given to the disciples in the closing hours of Jesus' ministry. And these teachings are aimed primarily at preparing the disciples and across the centuries really preparing us for what life will be like together as followers of Jesus after his death, resurrection, and ascension. And in this particular section that I read from today, Jesus speaks about the kind of connection and relationship that he deeply desires to see between those who would claim to be his faithful followers. This is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you, Jesus says in this English Standard Revised version of the text. It sounds really simple, but Jesus' desire here is that His church, this community of baptized and forgiven and faith-filled disciples, His church would be a place of true, deep, and loving friendships. Jesus' command is that this place would be the one place in the world, if not the premier place in the world, where your craving for loving connections and deep friendships can be satisfied. Now, I happen to think that that's really pretty cool. And think about it. And think about the fact that Christ is not friending us here, like we do with folks on Facebook. He is saying He wants to be friends. And there is a huge difference. He's saying He wants to be friends. The kind of friends that are in the flesh, where you can see them and touch them. Life-giving, deeply satisfying, intimately connected friends. I think that's awesome. That Jesus wants His body, the church, God's faith, family. Jesus wants the church to be more than an event that we attend with other Christians once a week, or for some of us, twice a year. He wants the church to be a place where there is a deep connection and community and closeness with people regularly and consistently. How cool is that? That Jesus' greatest concern as He sits at table for His last supper with the disciples and is thinking about leaving this earth, how cool is it that His greatest concern was how His people would live with deep, abiding, loving friendships with Him and with one another. And in all honesty today, I wonder how we're doing with that. Or to keep with the Facebook frame of reference, how many friends do you have at OHPC? And if so, are they real friends? And if so, what does that look like during the week? So look around. Go ahead. People in the front, look in the back. People in the back, look in the front. Take a good look around. How many people have you invited to your house to have coffee with you? Or maybe dinner? How many of you have been invited to someone's house for coffee or a meal? Maybe it's time for another round of dinners for eight here at OHPC that Candy Dance set up several years ago. Maybe it's definitely time for some more coffee hours. I mean, really, folks, look around. Go ahead, look around again. How many faces are, well, just faces to you? How many names do you know here? I must confess to you that it irks me a little bit sometimes when I am greeting people after the service, and a visitor or somebody new will leave in front of several people, and then somebody will come to me and whisper, "Pastor Bob, who was that?" And you know, because I've told you sometimes, I'll say, "Ask them." Seriously, why is it my job to introduce you to other people? I must say that we have a pretty good track record here at OHPC, because I know for a fact that people have told me this is the friendliest congregation they have ever been a part of. We're going to take in a new member. I'll tell you who it is. It's Amy Wenner, who said in her church shopping around the area, she literally went to churches where nobody talked to her or her children. I can't imagine that. A church, especially given the passage before us today. So look around. Who is just a face to you? And is there maybe somebody here in this congregation who has been with you through thick or thin when you have really needed some good help? Is there somebody here who has looked you in the eye and told you at one point something about your personality that maybe was a little off kilter and really tested you and corrected you in some way, shape, or form? Said that hard thing to you that you needed to hear, but yet ultimately put you on the right course? That's the kind of friendships that Jesus is saying He wants in His body. So here's what we're going to do today, folks. It's Mother's Day, right? And this is going to make some of you very uncomfortable, but you know what? Tough. Suck it up today, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, I know everybody in here today. I do. And I can name names, even with some visitors. I can tell you everybody's name in this place. Can you tell me? So here's what we're going to do. It's Mother's Day. Raise your hand if you're a mom. Keep your hands up just for a minute. And look around, folks, at everybody in here who's a mom, because you're going to go to somebody who is a mom that you don't know in just a minute. Okay? And Steve, slide please. Here's some fodder for you to consider. As you mingle around for the next 20 minutes, you're going to have 20 minutes to do this. Here's some fodder. Ask this mom a funniest moment as a mom or a parent. What is the deepest desire that you would have for that, for your child? Share that with somebody who's going to introduce themselves to you. The scariest moment as a mom or a parent. If you're not a mom or a parent, what's one hope or prayer that you have for the youth of today? And then to shift maybe in your conversations to accommodate those who are not mom, Steve, what do you think you can do to deepen your friendship with Jesus? What can you do to deepen friendships here at church, who is one person beyond these walls who you know needs a friend, and what might you be able to do to get closer to him or her? First slide back. So here's some fodder for you to think about. Some of you don't need these questions to begin conversation. Raise your hand again if you're mom. Look around and find out who you're going to target. Couples, I'd like you to break up a little bit. Okay? Here's what happened at 8:30 when we did this. The youth, they all stuck together in one area and nobody came up and talked to them. So watch what's going on around you. We have two great kids today. One who's back from college, Nick Dardaris. I'm sure he could tell you some stories. Okay? Now, I want to tell you one more thing. The context of this passage that's before us today was told at the table. Jesus had sat down for the Last Supper, had washed the disciples' feet, and then for five chapters, He goes into this farewell discourse and has conversation with the disciples. It was a banquet. But it was a very different banquet, because banquets back in that day were all about clients and business people who were trying to finagle for power and position. And Jesus transformed the banquets of the day when He had that Last Supper. And He served up at that banquet a menu of love and friendship and great conversation. So in keeping with that setting, the table is set for a little different banquet today. There are cookies and lemonade up here, because good conversation and good friends are usually made over food. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
There is also a table right behind Chris Torrey and Diane and Leah in the back. One table back there, also with cookies and lemonade. I want you, if it's going to help break the ice, take a cup of lemonade to somebody. Introduce yourself to them using real words with your name. Okay? Take them a cookie and engage somebody who you do not know real well in this place. We have been together for 16 years as pastor and people. And I know that there are still some of you who don't know other people in this congregation very well. We're going to change that today a little bit. Okay? You've got about 18 minutes. Here's what's going to happen when we're all done at the end of 18 minutes. Kermit is going to come up and place a segue into the final song. Then we're going to come back, sing the final hymn. As you're led, you'll come forward and place your offering in the offering plate. And we are done. Unless you make arrangements to have dinner or coffee with somebody after service. Go! Enjoy your new friends! Make some friends today!